Good morning, everyone. For those that don't know, though Dale, I think, said it a couple of times, I'm John, I'm Glenda's son. She's gone that way because she's on grandma duty this morning with my three who are running around and running amok. My wife had surgery this week, so that's why she's not here. She's recovering at home at the moment on some fantastic pain medications. What did we ever do before those, hey? So it's great to be here and thank you for the opportunity to speak. As Dale said, I was meant to be here at some point last year, but COVID derailed those plans. So it's a bit different this week. I normally go to Dream Builders Church, and unfortunately, our pastors tested positive to COVID this week, and all their children as well. They've got four girls, and they had family visiting as well. So everyone in the household's tested positive. They're all doing okay, but if you are praying for people that you know of, that you may add those to your prayers as well, because obviously it can be quite a serious illness for some people. So the church is still running this morning, but they've obviously got a few people away, and there's obviously, I think, some people watching online as they do an online stream because people are a bit worried at the moment. And I think this morning I wanted to talk about some of those things, and you may have heard from the scriptures, and Dale did a great job of breaking those scriptures down and doing a song in certain bits to really reinforce what the scriptures are all about. In that we have Paul, who went through some pretty incredible things, which we'll talk about throughout this message. And yet, he said that he'd discovered and learned a secret. And that is that he could be content no matter his situation. Content coming from a Greek word that means fully or completely satisfied. Now, you know, people often will talk about in life that they crave something like, you might have heard, inner peace or bliss, or I just want a piece of heaven on earth. People do things like mindfulness. Has anyone ever heard of mindfulness? And they might do meditation. They might take medications, whether prescribed or otherwise, we might say, all to try and get some sort of feeling of inner peace, of satisfaction. But you know, we live in a society that actually is revolved around making people feel dissatisfied. Because you wouldn't buy things unless you thought you wanted or needed them. That's why they do a big thing of anyone who follows Apple products, and I have my Apple MacBook, so I can't really talk. I have a watch and a phone. They're all Apple devices, and they do new releases every year, even if the upgrades are really small. And they do a big event in America to promote all these new features because they want people to feel like, I need that. That's something that's going to make my life better, easier. I'm going to feel excited, I'm going to feel happy, I'm going to feel content because I've got something that's the latest, that's the greatest. You know, I want the new Wi-Fi enabled washing machine, so if I've got to turn it on when I leave the house, I can just go on my phone and to think back 100 years or so ago, there wasn't a washing machine. People washed by hand. But I need it. I need my fridge to know when I'm running out of milk so I can just put the order straight into Woolworths or Coles for me. I want to ask you a question this morning and have a few responses, and we'll see who can get closest. How often do you think people change jobs in Australia as of, I think it was 2019, this study was done? Anyone got a guess of how long people will stay in the one job? 3 years? 3 months. Feels a bit like that sometimes. 44 years. That's some good staying power. Any other guesses for me? 5 years? Well, the study done, I think it was a couple of years ago, and I'm sure it's getting shorter as we go along, was every 3 years and 4 months on average, people will change jobs. And they compared it to a study done 20 years earlier where most people were staying for 10 years or more in the same job, which is why they brought in things like long service leave. We live in this society where sometimes people get this burst of happiness and they feel content and satisfied, and then things come crumbling down again. I've got a new job, you know, the boss is great, it's not like my old job, and then you see the same person 6 months later down the track and they've got the same complaints as they had about the job before. Grumbling and complaining about everything is not just normal, but it's, you might even say in our society, encouraged. And people look at what other people have and they say, I want that. Why do they get blessed with all these good things? What am I doing wrong? What have they done right? Why do they deserve this? How often have you heard this or thought about it yourself? And I'll be honest here, I'm talking to myself more than probably anyone here when through this message. How often have you heard something like, if only I had this, then I'd be happy. If only I had a bigger house. Our family's been in a small 2-bedroom unit for ages, and hopefully we'll get something bigger. But will that really change what's going on inside of us? If only I had a partner. If only I had a new job. If only I started a new career. Then I'd be happy. Think, what do kids want to be? Adults. What do adults want to be when they get there? Kids again. How many people say that? I miss my life when I was just a kid and I could do whatever and I could run amok. Like the three at the back all on top of each other right now. But the human condition is discontentment. The grass is always greener on the other side. Not thinking that maybe if we watered our own grass, it would be green. Just want to take some time to talk about Paul, though, who wrote these amazing verses. Sometimes we can read things in the Bible like, I've found the secret of being content and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we look and go, well, that's easy to write. It's easy to say. I can say that very easily. But what did Paul actually go through in life? I want to take an example that I really like because as a lawyer myself, I can really relate to this story. And Paul was with Silas. Hello. And they were on their missionary journey in Philippi. And they're being bothered by a slave girl there who was a fortune teller. And after several days of her following them around, and Paul tells the evil spirit to leave her immediately. And I just want to emphasize, in the name of Jesus. Right? He hasn't done anything in his own strength here. He's called upon the name of Jesus. And immediately the evil spirit left. And because she was a slave, her owners were upset because now they'd lost their income. So they've dragged Paul and Silas into court. They've got the crowd involved in making all sorts of outrageous accusations and allegations. So they have Paul and Silas beaten and they throw them into jail. And they chain their feet to heavy blocks of wood. And then they order the jailers to watch them closely. Now, as a lawyer myself, I've been out and toured the prison here, which, you know, isn't great. But I'm sure it's a lot better than what the Roman prisons would have been like back here. Yes, we've heard some stories over the years of the youth being put in spit hoods and things in Dondale. But here are Paul and Silas with their feet chained to heavy blocks of wood. Now, I just want to say here, if you're looking at this from a human perspective, surely you're going to be very angry about this situation you're in. They were not in jail for anything that they had done. Think about that. All they had done was say, in the name of Jesus, come out of her, this evil spirit. They didn't deserve to be in prison at all. My first thought, if I was in this situation, call your lawyer. Lawyer up straight away. Go on your social media accounts and tell everyone how wronged you've been. Start one of those crowdfunding things they have these days to raise money to pay off the highest profile lawyer you possibly can to come and represent you. Have all your followers, your friends, your family talk about this great injustice. Argue about the constitutional rights or human rights. But what do Paul and Silas do? That's right. They pray and they sing, not lamentations. The Bible says they sing praises. They're being unjustly held in prison. Everything inside of you as a human without God would say, this is not fair, this is not right, I will complain, I will whinge, I will get everyone involved to try and get me out of this. And here they are, singing not sad lamentations, but praises to God. Just think of how incredible the faith is in that circumstance when they're in a horrible situation. In completely unjust circumstances. And I want to challenge myself and you all, would we do the same in that situation? Because, you know, sometimes I think we read the Bible like it's a prequel movie. You know, when you know that the hero in the movie has to survive because they appear in a later movie. So they can't possibly die. And they're not in any danger. And here we know all the amazing things that Paul does. We know the incredible letters he writes. We know that from that story I've just read, if you've been in church for very long, you'll know that God has come and done a miracle and breaks the chains off them. And not only are they free, but there's entire households of people saved who saw the miracle. But that doesn't mean that what Paul and Silas went through, we should just gloss over a bit and go, oh, there's a miracle at the end, it doesn't matter. Because he went through an incredible amount of stuff. I'm just going to go to 2 Corinthians 11 and read some of these things out. From 24 to 28, he says this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He says, five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Five times 39 lashes. That must be somewhere, close to 200 lashes from the leaders. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I could not imagine being shipwrecked three times. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have travelled on many long journeys. without a car. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. So not only is Paul saying, look at all this physical anguish that I've gone through, but I'm also carrying this burden of all these churches he's planted, thinking, how are they going? What are they doing? He's hearing reports sometimes, and we know from the letters he writes that there were some things going on in those churches that he needed to sort out. We also read in other parts of the Bible that when he was imprisoned, once again in other times falsely, that he was abandoned by people that he thought were friends. And he faced questions from fellow believers about his closeness to the Gentile people at the time. And yet this is the same person who is able to write, I've learned the secret of being content no matter the circumstances. Because let's look at the other extreme, my favourite people, the Israelite people in the Old Testament, because I can feel like I can relate sometimes. They were led out of Egypt with seeing countless miracles and incredible miraculous things. And finally, Pharaoh, who was very hard of heart, has had a change of heart and let them go. And then decides, of course, as he does, no, I'm going to now send my armies after you. But God leads them through waters when they walk on dry land, and completely rescues them from the Egyptians. And as you would, in those good, fantastic times, they've sung praises, they've danced, they've built altars, they're celebrating. Thank you, God, for everything you've done. See, that's easy to do sometimes when things are going well. But what do they do not long after that? You read the chapters in the Bible after these incredible praise songs that Moses has written and Miriam's written. They started to run out of water, or they've got bitter tasting water at one point. They're running out of food. They start complaining. The things my children love to do more than anything else, complaining and whinging. Anyone else relate to that? Do they have faith in God and say, hey, he's brought us out of all of these things? They could look back and gone, how did we get here? Would God really have brought us through all this to make us die in the desert of thirst and starvation? Of course not. And yet, here they are, complaining and grumbling, even to the point where they say, God's brought us out here to kill us. Amazingly, God still had such great mercy and grace and love for his people that he still gave them manna from heaven. He still gave them water in miraculous circumstances out of rocks. And even when they were getting daily food come down from heaven, they still complained now that they want meat. And then God says, go and take the promised land. And they say, no, those people are too big. They're going to kill us. You know what? Sometimes, though, as I said, I can relate to the Israelites, because how often do we not look back and see what God's been has done in our life and where we are? And the first thing, our first reaction is the human reaction to grumble and complain, rather than praise, even in the worst of circumstances. See, Jesus talked in that great Sermon on the Mount about not worrying, not being anxious. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because then all those things, those necessities will be added. And he calls God the Father. And there's something amazing about names in the Bible, is that they're always used intentionally to describe something about God. And in that, he's describing God as a father, as someone who provides for his children. In another part of the Bible, Jesus talks and says, hey, if your kids come to you and ask you for food, you're going to give them a snake or a rock? Ridiculous, right? Even us as earthly fathers are not going to do that. Our oldest, Amaya, who's running away at the back, you give her any new chocolates to try and she'll go to put it in her mouth and immediately it's like rip it back and say, does it have nuts in it? Now we all know, Mum and I know, she doesn't like chocolate with nuts in it. Would we give her chocolate with nuts in it? And yet she still, sometimes, in that quick recoil, questions, what are you doing? Is there nuts in there? But if we, as Jesus says, as earthly fathers and mothers, are able to provide those basic necessities for our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us what we need? Because where does ultimately this feeling of discontentment come from? At the lack of faith in God to provide and his provision. And sometimes in the hardest times, God is teaching us something about waiting and patience. And looking back in my own life, I can say that there's been times for years that you pray for something and it just never feels like it's going to come. God is a good and faithful God. Just as he was to Paul and Silas. And Paul went through an incredible experience. You see, before he went on this incredible missionary journeys, or several journeys, and then revisited churches and all of those amazing things, from worldly standards, he was doing pretty well. He was well respected. He was probably fairly well off, given he was a Roman citizen as well. And if you look from a worldly perspective, why on earth would he put up with all these things that he's gone through? To me, it comes down to simply what he says to the church. In the context it is, he talks about how he has learned to be content in every situation. And he says, I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. It's a very famous verse. But in the context it is, Paul hasn't written a whole lot of miracles that he's done and said, I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. He hasn't written about all the churches he's planted. He said, I've learned this secret. And I'm going to tell you, it's how to be content in every situation. And I can't do that in my own human strength. I do it through Christ who strengthens me. I just want to say as I wrap up, if it's a challenge for you as it is for me, God's grace and his mercies, just like for the Israelites, are so much greater than we can even imagine. So don't get down on yourself or beat yourself up. If you're going through things at the moment and finding yourself praying for a change in circumstances, my challenge, as I've been trying to do this past few weeks, is to pray not only about the circumstance that I want to see change, but also my own level of contentment, and that through it all, I will know that God has it. I will know that God has the best in store for me and my family. That I won't look at others and be envious and jealous and think they've got it all, they've got it all going on. But I will know that God will provide all that I need. Let it not be something that you beat yourself up with if you're going through this and you're thinking, I don't feel content. I don't have contentment. But let us spur us on to surrender ourselves more, to let the Holy Spirit guide us, and to build our own relationship with Jesus so we can know him and know we can trust him and know that he has it. As if our level of contentment or satisfaction in life is based on our situation, as it is for most people in the world, then it will go up and down with the whims of whatever's happening at the time. And there'll always be something that we say, if I just had this, or when my kids leave home, then I'll be happy. They come back, or sometimes they don't, and then people are more upset with that. Let our level of contentment and satisfaction in life be found in our relationship and faith in Jesus Christ, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can be content with a lot. We can be satisfied with a little, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of whatever we're going through, the worst of times. Christ can strengthen us. Christ will strengthen us if we turn to him. Through Christ, we can say, and this is my prayer for us all, that in everything, in every circumstance, we are content, we are satisfied. Thanks, Dale.